Blog Talk Radio.
It's the V-Spot. I'm your host, Dr. Dictator. My co-host is Neil Foster. V-Spot Radio is brought to you by Planet Dictator Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly do not want. Only at Planet Dictator. Oh, Long Johnson! Oh, Long Johnson! All right, and we are on the air. Will we be able to break Monday's record for listeners?
We're going to hit the double digits?
Whoa, easy there. We only did that with the first episode. I don't know. You kind of feel bad when your first episode does double digits, but the rest of them seem to get lower. Like, people are saying, oh, I don't want more of that. Okay, Neil, so how are you doing?
I guess all right. Unfortunately, I was not able to save in the burp to start off this podcast.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sure you'll do another belch before this is over. Okay, the reason we were talking about belching is today's episode's called Saved by the Belch. My clever wordplay on the TV show Saved by the Bell. Now, for most people our generation, Saved by the Bell is just a way of life. For me, it's like, I love Saved by the Bell, and I don't mean ironically, like, I love it. I think it's one of the best shows ever. If I had to pick between destroying every episode of Breaking Bad or saving a bad episode of Saved by the Bell, I'd say the bad Saved by the Bell episode. Wouldn't even think twice about it. Okay, Neil, so how do you want to handle this episode?
Do you want to just do the top 10, or do you just want to start about how the series was to begin with?
Well, why don't we talk a little bit about how the series was over the years. I don't remember the first time I saw Saved by the Bell as, like, you know, it was a regular thing. I remember watching Good Morning, Miss Bliss on Disney Channel. I remember seeing two episodes. I saw the one with the bully that was picking on Screech that looked like he was 19 years old. And I saw the episode with the pop singer that kissed Zach.
What?
Do you
I don't remember that
watching
one.
What, you don't?
Not that one, no. Not that episode.
Don't you remember he had a contest where he bet he could kiss a pop singer named Stevie?
No. Of all the early Good Morning, Miss Bliss episodes that they reran, I don't remember watching that one.
Oh, you got
to know. I remember when I started. It used to be on Saturday mornings, like near the late Saturday mornings, when they stopped showing cartoons and start showing the live-action shows. And it was on weekdays. I think it was on, was it TBS?
It was on WGN initially. It was actually on WGN initially in syndication.
Okay. Well,
then TBS go.
They used to show a lot of the Good Morning, Miss Bliss episodes with little older Zach just explaining. Like, I remember the time we got in such crazy things. Like when I took all the school's money and put it into potatoes.
Yeah, I do. See, I remember that now, you know, just so it was crazy. But I do remember watching Good Morning, Miss Bliss once or twice when it originally on Disney Channel. And we're going to watch the Stevie episode later. I can't believe you've never seen that.
I must have forgot about it.
Oh, you'll probably remember it when you see it. Now, Saved by the Bell, I can't remember actually when I first saw Saved by the Bell. I can remember the first episode. I remember the first episode I saw on Saturday morning. And that was Zach's War. You remember the one when Zach joined the Army Cadet Corps?
You mean ROTC?
They didn't call it ROTC. I don't know why.
Oh, I guess. Oh, okay. I kind of knew. That's one of those, you know, was that one of the episodes where they had an entirely different set?
No, they didn't. It was still at Bayside. It was basically something they were doing during school.
Oh, okay.
Yo, the Cadet Corps commander was that actor that looks like Denzel Washington, but isn't Denzel Washington?
Was this one of the episodes? This one was still one of the early episodes. They didn't have that too many sets.
It was early on in season 2, so no, they don't have a ton of them. But anyway, that's the first episode I remember watching. And it might have been a rerun later because I remember watching it the same day that I watched the Alabama-Auburn game from 1990.
Well, I'm trying to think here. How good is the continuity? How tight is it? If you want to explain it.
Okay. Now, basically, you can't really... There's little continuity between Miss Bliss and Saved by the Bell because it was set in Indiana, things like that. But the continuity's not terrible in the first season. I think the only main problem with continuity in later in overall is that the production order was different than the air date. So you might see an episode later where you might have a later on where you might have an episode. What am I doing? Basically, Kelly and Zach are dating. Episode the next episode they broke up.
Just like real dating.
Kinda, yeah. From the first season, if I was going to do my list of favorite episodes, a lot of them would come from the first season.
None of the later seasons?
No, there's a few from the later seasons. We were talking about it, like House Party would definitely be there. The one with Screech's dog, lost his dog to Max Nordstrom.
Yeah.
The Check Your Mate one, the one where they were at the chess war with Valley.
had the really smart Russian kid.
But you know what? Let's just go ahead right now and let's do what's your top five?
I think I had a problem trying to get five because I do have the chess episode. One of the episodes I have is one of the later episodes. It's the one where they're doing Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and they have all like the nerd characters playing all the dwarves.
So it's and Slater plays
so
Dudley.
They have, like, all the little bit characters having the back, like Ollie. Was Alan still there, or did they get someone else?
Alan was gone after season two.
Okay, I'm trying to remember the other... What's the other big blonde perm-haired nerd's name?
Herbert.
It's like Ollie Herbert, that other one that had the very oily hair and all that. The episode was called Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
And interesting thing about the nerds are that after I read the Screech book, and I think I'm one of five people that read Screech's book, the interesting thing about it that you learn is that he was very afraid of losing his job. Like, he always felt threatened by the other nerd characters.
Then he said, it's like, oh man, they're doing the nerd bit a lot better than I am.
It's not so much that, he just thought that they were going to try to. Like, he was confident he did it well, but he always thought they were going to try to replace him with Ollie or something, which I could understand because Ollie's wonderful.
You want to do your Ollie impersonation?
Yeah, the oil episode when Franklin was chained to Kelly and Jesse and it was like this. Franklin, give us the key. He swallowed it. You babes are his.
Oh yeah, the nerds.
Well, okay, Dale, but try to gather your list, Dale, into a top five, and we'll get back to it. Okay.
Okay.
These are the ones you're having to save. Say the bell is burning down. You can only save five. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, Neil, did
you
call in?
We got a call in, yeah. I'll dispatch him in.
Okay, let him in.
Victor.
Hey. How you doing, Eric?
Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about Screech. I think by the end of the show, he became a little bit too crazy, where it's hard to be about believable that he was, like, smart. I mean, I think there's a fine line in these old shows, but, like, at the end, Screech was, like, too stupid to be smart. He's like, oh, Zach, what's a chicken?
Well, the thing is, with Screech later on, it became the fact that he seemed more like a lunatic.
Yes. He wasn't
like he's
a
smart,
nerd or just... You're just a crazy person walking around that they tend to be friends with.
Well, it's like he's going to be the... Well, it's like he became supervillain smart.
Yes, it's ironically that Screech is much more realistic when he was a guy who apparently made a robot when the show started.
Well,
he's more realistic back then with Kevin the Robot.
Yeah, and I think I found the funny thing was he built a new robot on new class out of a vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
And it was sentient and it feared dying. Like someone said, yeah. When did he get to graduate college, become vice principal? You know, I'm pretty sure Screech got his college diploma on a weekend. I'm pretty sure the only reason he stayed in school was to hang out with Zach.
Yeah, so he started working with back at Bayside for like class credit or something, and they never left, I guess.
Yeah, they had this thing. The funny thing you were saying about him going too far, and on college years, they kind of scaled him back again.
Yes, they had to, because that show was slightly more realistic. For Save by the
Bell,
people realistic, that is.
He came back to new class, and he kind of still scaled back. But then he started getting a little crazier and crazier each season. And he was becoming more malicious about it, too.
Go into great detail about how sociopathic Zach becomes.
Oh yeah, wait, hold on 1 second. Chugging on my jug of water.
Before that,
Zach apologized for something, and it was like one of those things where it's like, funny, Zach's apologizing. Usually, he only feigns apologies when he's in a corner.
I also think that after Kelly broke up with Zach, they had problems figuring out who exactly she is.
Yeah.
Who exactly her character is.
The thing about it is, after she wasn't dating Zach anymore, she didn't have a character.
Yes.
She existed initially just to be something for Zach to pursue.
Yes.
Then he was her girlfriend, and then later on, she's just kind of hanging around in the background making snide remarks.
Didn't really have any plots.
Yeah, like, I just watched the episode with the drug.
The Eric episode?
You know the one when the guy, the No Hope with Dope?
Yeah.
And she's being pressured by her boyfriend to smoke pot. That's like the first Kelly-centric episode she's had in, like, since the breakup.
Yeah, so many episodes she was just in the background.
She wasn't even in the second part of the Eric of the stepbrother episode. She wasn't even there.
I have memories of, like, I don't know if it's true or I made it up, that, like, at one point she starts defending Eric and, like, you guys are mean. And Zach's
no,
like,
did.
If she wasn't a girl, I'd punch her. And that was kind of weird.
No. She did defend him. Like, she was like this, she said, why don't you guys leave alone? He's in a new school. He's in love with Lisa, but she hates him. Jesse's giving him a hard time. I'm so disappointed in you. Now, my feeling watching the episode is that because Eric was immediately attracted to Lisa, Kelly wanted to bone him.
Maybe.
You know, because if a man doesn't want to go after Kelly immediately, and the other thing about Kelly is, somebody like Kelly does get a lot of character episodes, you begin to attach character traits to her. One of the things is she has daddy issues.
Yes.
Every time she ever cheated on Zach, it was with an older man.
Patrick Muldoon. At least that guy sounded like he was 10.
Yeah, it's like he looked like he was like 25. And then later on in college years, she cheated on him with Professor Lasky.
Yes.
And then you see the dad's kind of a dickhead in the prom episode, because he's telling Kelly, well, honey, I lost my job today. And it's like he's telling her to give him the dress money, but he doesn't want to outright say it. You know, which is a dick move for a dad.
Then they have those strange episodes with Tori about telling Jesse nowhere to be seen.
The Tori episode, the weird thing is there's a lot of the Tori episodes I like, but it's not because of Tori. I remember one time I felt bad because I described Tori as a leather-wearing lesbian.
And
then later on, I looked up Leanna Creel on Wikipedia, and it turned out she actually was gay.
Yes.
And I felt awful.
How many episodes was Tori in? Was it only like 5, if even that?
I think she was probably in 15. Let me see.
Yeah, the deal was that they filmed last season, from last episode, that also NBC wanted more. So they had to re-sign them again, but Kelly and Jesse were gone already.
They were already gone.
One of the episodes, basically, there was an earthquake, and Belding's wife is going to probably have a baby.
Yes.
And this is one of those ones where you know that's a lot of budget to go around. Because, like, man, they're trying to break things up, these sets.
I think there were about 10 Tory episodes.
Okay. They had a weird period where they would show two new episodes, and one of them would have Tori, and one of them would have Kelly and Jesse, and it was pretty weird.
Well, even weirder is that during the promos for it, they would have Kelly, Jesse, and Tori together.
Or how about that episode where they didn't have Jesse, but they were in the mall trying to get concert tickets, and all
U2
of the
tickets. U2 tickets. First
you know
time I've ever heard
there?
Of U2.
You know why she wasn't there, Elizabeth Berkley?
Why?
Showgirls?
When they were filming, she fell and fucked up her knee.
Oh. And he just gave all Jesse's lines to Kelly. Another thing about Jesse is,
you could tell that Elizabeth Berkley, she's a couple of years older than the rest of the cast, and how do I put this right? She was maturing a bit more. And you could also tell that she wanted to leave. Like, she looked like she was just watching the clock waiting for the show to end, even in season 3.
Isn't like Logan's Run? She's got to get out there before she turns, like, 21 or something.
Nothing. I think she's just wanting to get out there and do anything. Like, Neil, remember the fake IDs episode, that dress she was wearing?
Yeah.
I'm talking about 2 scoops, you know what I'm saying?
Now, who was that character who was only in, like, season 1 and 2? The guy who did all the magic tricks? Was he actually Mac himself?
Al Alonzo. Well, I think originally he was supposed to be like a mentor for the kids, and Belding was supposed to be the bad cop.
Yeah.
But Dennis Haskins was so lovable, it was hard to do. Interesting that it was that they didn't really have a thing for Dennis Haskins to do initially as Belding. They weren't really sure what to do with him in season 2. So he operated as kind of a heel for a while.
Like one of the very joyous pills.
Do what now?
What do you call the heels that people root for?
Tweener.
A cool heel?
Yeah, something like that. You could tell that he was having fun. Like, he's basically, when Zach was going to get, like, suspension, man, he was just basically gloating it over. And when he also needed him to, on the same episode, to date his cousin, we have a picture of his face where he's, I think I'm going to call you parent, and he's going to be very comically about to go to the phone.
That was an odd episode in the way that it was like, Mr. Belding and Slater were both heels in the episode.
Kind of how it is on most of the early episodes.
Well,
doing the Slater having the very sexual tensions with Zach.
Which kind of finally petered out. But no, in the initial episodes, Slater was the one trying to break them up, and Belding's just acting very out of character. I'd like to save the Max episode. In his very last appearance, they implied that Max took the dog and fed it to the kids.
What?
He had a tray full of hamburgers like this. Yeah, I haven't seen Max this sad since he made his dog disappear and couldn't get Fluffy to come back. Wonder whatever happened to that dog. And then they looked down at their tray of hamburgers.
This is the time when the writers were having fun.
Pepper steak.
Well,
didn't you say that also happened during a new class?
Yeah, they were just doing stuff to amuse themselves, like putting a Screech in Belding in homoerotic situations. Eric, okay, you got 5 episodes that you have to save. Saved by the Bell, the house is burning down. Which ones do you save?
You want to start with me?
Well, just for legacy, I guess, I'm so excited episode, and the Becky the Duck episode, which I just saw the other day, and I love it for its insanity.
Which one?
The Becky the Duck episode, where they strike
They
strike oil in the high school apparently, and somehow they think that the students will be rich because of it. And they're like, and they have like a five-way fantasy sequence at the same time, where they're all picking the same thing, what they would do if they're rich. And for some reason, if they're rich, they think they'll be like old-style Northeastern wasps for some reason. And turns into an Arab prince for some reason if he's rich.
Yes, and they, okay, mind you, Screech is not around for this.
Yes.
And it's like,
I realized this. She was not there.
Yeah, why was Screech Arab? Kelly, why do you want to be married to Screech?
Yes, I was wondering, yeah,
well, like, me, it's your dream. You mind, why was I in it?
Kelly
but everyone didn't have pants.
I'm pretty sure that Kelly was still in love with Screech.
Well, from like the first season episode where he tutored her?
Yes, because he dumped her. Okay, Eric, what would be your other one?
Let me think. I guess. Jesse, later. Okay, the one I just saw earlier today was the Screech one where he makes his grandma's Italian tomato sauce.
Oh, yeah.
And
all of a
sudden
they
yet.
Start apparently running this from their high school, these six high schoolers. And then Betsy Crocker, representative Betsy Crocker comes up and says that, hey, this is in our book. And Screech is like, of course, my grandma was a bad cook. She didn't know what I meant.
That was a great gag to go all that way for that.
Yeah.
You know the thing I didn't understand? Going back an episode, you know what I didn't understand about the Jesse song episode?
What
was that?
Okay, they're performing at the back. For some reason, they're having Screech perform with them. I don't understand why they couldn't find A, another girl, B, failing that using Slater, or failing that just not having a third girl.
Well, what you can say about Bell is like logic from the end of the universe.
Well, it's just that this one that you have to go so many steps for this. I always feel like this episode kind of did the opposite of a drug message because they went so over the top with caffeine pills and people laughed at it. So I think a later generation think, oh, this over the counter speed is safe. Saved by the Bell did it.
I was watching a little part where Zach says something like, I have another plan, and Screech says, oh no, we have a plan, I usually end up in my underwear. And looking back at that creepy line.
He ended up wearing Zach's Aunt Helen's bra. One time when they were in middle school, Zach tied Screech to a roller coaster.
How did he survive?
I don't know, well, she's a cartoon. Screech is 90% cartoon, so he'll survive a lot of things.
Yes, like I said, Screech was ironically more realistic at the start of the show where all he did was make a robot.
Yeah, at the beginning of it, you'll notice this in season two, the first thing they did was they made Screech a lot more wacky. In the first season, he's just Zach's put-upon sidekick. You know, he's a little off in some ways, but he's a fairly normal kid.
Yeah.
And mind you, I'm pretty sure Zach is friends with Screech because Screech is the only person that tolerates him for long periods of time.
Yeah,
everyone needs a Bell House.
It's weird, dude. They work there and they live there. It's kind of weird.
Okay. You know, I was going to put my list, and for me, the very first episode, the pilot, to me, that's one of the best episodes.
Pilot, where Slater was more of a heelish.
Yeah, where Slater first appeared. He decides to horn in on Kelly immediately.
Yes.
Now, here's what I don't understand. They pushed back the Artie the Lizard episode to the last season and the Screech's birthday episode.
Yes, that was confusing.
Yeah, because those episodes somehow are so bad that they couldn't... But you go up here and you look at some of these episodes they aired, like Screech's Woman. The woman Zach dresses like a woman for Screech, and I'm thinking... Why do they deem these bad, but the episode when Zach cross-dresses and dates Screech, oh, that's the first run, we gotta show that to people.
Well, at least they kept slamming Slater.
Oh yeah, you remember the episode when Slater had the fantasy that he was Hulk Hogan?
Yes.
There was a lot of episodes where he was basically doing wrestling episodes, and this was like one of the first ones where he thinks that's all his career is going to be. It's just going to be washed up.
And I said, Slammer, I said, you know, Slammer, it's funny, Hulk Hogan turning Slammer Slater so gradually, I hardly noticed. Oh, yeah, the friendship business, when they're selling the friendship bracelets.
Oh, God, the friendship episode.
And they do this promotional video, and I'm wondering, how much, who pissed away all this money on this video for a class project?
Oh, yeah,
really relevant to the school.
I mean, it could be Kelly.
Back. Tell about all the steps that he did about getting back at them.
Okay, first of all, he closed down his booth. Then he bought a buddy band. Then he gave the buddy band to Mr. Belding, feigning friendship. Then when Belding wore the buddy band in public, he went around telling people, making fun of him for it. That episode was the closest that got to being J.R. Ewing. Which I always felt like the show was kind of...
Yeah,
I always felt like
that
was supposed...
Both shows could exist.
Do what now?
Didn't you say that both shows could basically coexist in the same universe?
Yes, I like to think that the oil episode led to a Dallas crossover, where J.R. started a dummy corporation called Cal State Oil to get the high school's oil. And when it was over, it leads this big war between Zach and J.R. Ewing, and J.R. declares Zach his new apprentice.
Yeah, she's like a better Casey Denault.
Yes, exactly. He's like Casey DeDalt without being a brain-dead hick.
And also the surfer hair.
But anyway, in the friendship business, so I'm thinking it has to be Jessie because her parents have money, so she pissed away all this money on a school project just to get back at Zach. I remember when I first saw that video and I saw Kelly and Jesse in those sequin bras, and at the time I was like 10 or 11, and it really affected me at the time. It was probably gave me a pre-boner.
Okay.
Yeah, one of those things when you're a kid, you're like, I don't know what this is.
That episode also Mr. Tuttle. What was the first Mr. Tuttle episode?
That was the episode with the friendship. That was the friendship business. Tuttle was awesome because Tuttle had this. I like how Tuttle and Belding had this history and they snipe at each other. And
yes,
Belding's coming in there bossing him around about the Glee Club, and Tuttle's like, "If I wanted to be nagged, I'd call your wife."
Yeah, I also like the Micro Machine teacher dude.
Oh yeah, Tom
I know.
Has had him as a teacher.
As a kid, I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, wow, he's a tough teacher. As an adult, I want somebody to stand up and tell him, slow the fuck down! I can't keep up with you!
Yes, I mean, they really should have gone to, like, the school board or something.
You know,
I mean,
I didn't like what Screech
said. Their whole lives could be ruined if they see all this class and they can't get into a good enough college.
because they
can't understand him.
I like how Zach's priorities in that episode was get a good grade on the test and not go to the horse track immediately. But yeah, later on, I also liked the way Zach said that about Screech when he said, Screech, how'd you get an A? I don't know. I was getting so many conflicting visions. I just read everything. And Zach said, oh, you cheated. You studied. Hey, dude, you got a belt coming up?
No, I almost hate to tell you this, but... Wow, 30 minutes
All right.
is not enough to talk about
Saved
by the Bell.
Eric, do you want to come back next week and we finish this up? Maybe talk about the sideshows and, like, new class and college years?
Sure.
Okay, it was good having you.
Right.
Oh, Neil, play the promo.
Okay.
They come from a time before horsepower. They come from a time before cosmic forces. They are a breed apart. They are the old breed, and they are here to reclaim what they have lost. Rise of an Old Breed starts April 2nd along with Duel Devil Weekend Edition, only at horsepowerthemovie.blogspot.com. Okay, we are now in recording time. Special note if you're listening to this. Horsepower Rise of an Old Breed will be back.